today on Real Radio.
Tell this to your children. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And so, Junior, we want to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. Take that verse. You say, Jack, you want me to take Deuteronomy chapter 6? It's in the Old Testament. You want me to show that to my kid? Read it to them. And then go do that thing. It's absolutely amazing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Life and Bible with a message called Being a Christian While Being a Parent, Part 1. You know, we all have numerous positions in life, but being a Christian, well, that carries with it a new kind of responsibility. The Bible tells us that knowing God's will for our lives requires wisdom and spiritual understanding, but deeper still, we need to know how to put what we know into action. In God's concept of design, there's nothing like parenthood. You know, you could be the wealthiest person in the world, the most beautiful, the smartest, the most powerful person, and still fail as a parent. Creating or giving birth to a child doesn't make you a parent automatically. It's what comes after the baby is born that has the greatest effect on determining the child's life, the child's values, and equally as important, the child's future. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that the Christian parent wants to direct their children towards the Lord, to be dependent upon Him in all things, to include the children during prayer time, at church, in giving, and letting them see how God works. And now in his message called Being a Christian While Being a Parent, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
When your little ones begin to understand, yep, God did that. And when you point to those stars and you say, look, God made all of those stars for us to look at. Do you know what that communicates to a kid? It's amazing. And it's easy to tell them, listen, Junior, God's got a plan for your life. And they get encouraged. And you show them how these, I don't know, personally, I believe, hear me out, I believe God gave us two Bibles. One we have in our hand, and the other one we can observe through nature. God made them both. They're both in perfect harmony with each other. One explains the other. The fingerprint of God is on both. And when you see that thing walk by, what in the world is that? That's a giraffe, or that's a donkey, or that's a whatever. Tell your kids about it. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. Take them outside. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Listen to this. Day unto day they utter their speech, and night unto night they reveal knowledge. Isn't that awesome? There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man who runs a race. The sun streaks across the sky. God says, listen, I've got a perfect plan going on. And you teach your kids, if God is that specific, if God is that awesome about his creation, you're more important than the sun that gives us warmth or the wind that moves the trees. Christian parents, we always want to direct our kids to the Lord. And you do that graphically. I would like to say technicolor. Getting on your knees, as I said, getting your Bible open, having them tell them, let's go outside, let's lay down, let's watch the clouds go by. Tell me what you see. And talk to God. And talk to them. Lord, show us something great. Show us something fun. And God will do that. He's faithful to do that. Number three, being a Christian while being a parent. A Christian parent directs the child toward the Lord. That's what we are to be doing as parents. It's directing the child toward the Lord at all times. As a parent, I am developing a God dependence in that child. We want our children to be dependent upon God. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Are you going through stuff right now in life? Who is not going through stuff right now in life? To a degree, You can shield your kids. There's stuff that your kids should not know, but there's some stuff that maybe your kids ought to know. And include them in on praying. Is it your job? Is it a health issue? And it's been deemed wise in your opinion that, okay, let's share it with them. Let's include them in this and let them in. Let them see God work. Always direct them toward the Lord. Daddy, what are we going to do about this? You know what, son? We're going to trust the Lord. This is what we're going to do. And you include them. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Bible, the word of God, and in his law he meditates in it day and night. He shall be, watch this, that man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, it will prosper. Okay, church, class, listen. Grab Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, and you read that to your kids as a parent, and you say, you know what, we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to do this, all right? This is what we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to plant us. And you pray. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 and 6 says this, and tell this to your children. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And so, Junior, we want to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Being a Christian parent. See, we'll buy 100 books on Christian parenting, and we'll read them all, and it doesn't change anything. But if we take just God's word and actually act upon it, take that verse, you say, Jack, you want me to take Deuteronomy chapter 6? It's in the Old Testament. You want me to show that to my kid? Read it to them. And then go do that thing. It's absolutely amazing. Okay, watch this. You say, how do I do that? When it says to teach them in the way and to talk to them. I'm going to give you four things I think is important. Are you guys with me? Are you guys awake? Are we here together tonight? Okay. Okay. Number one, mom, dad, I think this is important. Include your children in what's happening at your church. Maybe you're visiting from some other church. And you're here tonight. I don't care where you go. Just include your kids and share with them about what's happening at your church. Do you know what? Watch this. You take Susie and you take Johnny and you say, hey, you know what? We are going to pray for our missionaries in Mali, okay? We're going to take their little bookmark from the counter out there in the hallway and we are going to pray for them for 1 month, okay, kids? We're going to do that. Involve your children in your church. It's absolutely vital. It's absolutely essential. Number two, include them in on the worship at your church. Hey, Mikey, we worship God in the main sanctuary real loud. And we sing and we lift our hands. What are you guys doing in your kids' class? How's it going? And then, oh, that's what you do. You know what? Let's try it here at home right now. Let's sing. Let's put on this, you know, record, man, we had all these little things when the kids were growing up, and I'm sure if somebody lived next door to us, they thought we were nuts. You have all these little kiddie songs, but you know what? Those songs are in our heads still. In fact, those of us who were on Israel trip, Lisa was singing some of those kiddie songs to the poor people on that bus. I mean, it sticks in your head. And you want to do that. Parenting. It's not some secret thing like, I'm the parent, you're the kid. That's your world and this is mine. I pay the bills and you ride the tricycle. It's a family. And I'm not saying that your kid should know how much your mortgage is. Give him a heart attack. It'll kill the kid. It's killing you. But that's how you teach them to have a God dependency. You want them to be dependent upon God, not so dependent upon us. You say, well, Jack, are you crazy? I'm their parent. Yeah, no, we're not forgetting that. But listen, My wife blew me away when we first had Rebecca and Lisa started homeschooling Rebecca. I thought I was totally against that. I thought she was nuts. And back then, homeschooling, I think, was, I don't know, I think George Washington had just gotten out of homeschool back then or something. But it's like, what? Are we going to go to jail? And she stuck to it. And you know what she said? And I've never forgotten it. Lisa said, you know what? I will not see the fruit of what I'm investing in Rebecca's life and Ashley's life right now. I don't expect to see this fruit for about 20 to 30 years. What? Absolutely amazing to me. To include them and to teach them in the way of the Lord and not make it such a big deal, but to just make it a day-to-day thing in life. Maybe you're a brand new Christian or you're new to the faith and it's like, Jack, how do I start this? My kid's 17. That's coming up. But there's a way. So many families like never before. Right now, parents are probably sitting here tonight saying, Jack, I can't even get my kid. I can't get 30 seconds of my kid's attention at home. There's a way. You pray, you ask God for wisdom. Mom, dad, you can get through to your kid. First of all, it's God's will, and he will help you to reach your child with the love of God. So listen, number one is let them know what's happening at your church. Number two, about worship, get them to be worshipers. Number three, include them in on the teaching. Ask them, what was your class about? Hey, Mikey, what did you learn today in your Sunday school class? And let him tell you. Let her tell you what they're learning. And then tell them, do you know what? We're still trying to figure out what Pastor Jack said. No, I mean, tell them what, I'm joking, but maybe not. But you tell them on Sunday, well, this is what we learned. What did you learn? Get a dialogue going. See, the danger is you and I go to church, and then the church is over, and we get in the car, and we put the radio onto the game. And church just evaporates. Whatever we were learning and doing evaporates right out before we ever get home. We need to discuss it. We need to meditate on it and talk about it. And then this is something that I learned from my wife. Lisa had this going on in her life as a Christian. I did not grow up as a Christian. But number four, because it was such an amazing conviction to me, and it was natural for her, and that is to include them in giving at your church. Giving in any way, a nickel. She had like a quarter or whatever she got when she was a little tiny kid. She learned, her parents taught her from the beginning, you tithe to the Lord. And you say, well, man, I don't know. That's really weird to have a kid. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's an act of worship. It's commanded in Scripture. And the bottom line is it tests our hearts. I have heard people saying, man, times are really tough. I can't give God anything right now. Don't ever go there. Don't ever do that. Even if it's a nickel, give him a nickel. Because here's the problem about teaching our children tithing or giving or serving. I don't care what it is. But giving back to God, if we are not teaching our children how to give back to God, they will grow up to be very, very self-centered, and they will grow up to be in love with things instead of the God who gave them those things. Whenever we cannot put a nickel in the offering, it's because, you know what? We have an idol in our life. It's a very serious issue. And when I met my wife and our first date was to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, I had gone there for about a year and a half. They passed the plate. Plate went by and I was making big money. They passed the plate and went right by. And she said, what did you just do? I said, what? She goes, you didn't put anything in there. And I said, well, hello, look around. Like, they don't need anything. And she goes, you have messed it up completely. You don't even know what you're talking about. She said, it has nothing to do with that. And man, I tell you, I got so convicted. Include your children on giving, serving. If it's taking a can of beans to the homeless, serving, giving. That's directing them toward the Lord. That's number three. Number four is this. A Christian parent is to be an example. Exemplifies the Christian life. Christian parents, this is what we need to do. We need to be examples to them. And maybe, listen, you might be thinking, man, I don't know. I think I've ruined this too much already. Watch this. Philippians 2, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Okay, we need to esteem them, others, in the Lord, okay? How often do we think of those kinds of verses applying to our children? And I believe it should apply to our kids first. Oh, the Bible says that we need to esteem others. Who are those others? As parents, we need to apply that to our kids. You say, what do you mean, esteem my kid? That scripture would mean that you are to encourage your child, that you are to be a blessing to your child. It doesn't mean that you exalt your child like they're the king of the house. No, it means to bless their life, to be a blessing to them. And as Christian examples, you and I are going to be an example as a parent to them, no matter what we're doing right now. And you say, Jack, I feel like I've blown it so bad. But listen, here's the great thing. You can go to your kid right now. You say, well, like you said a moment ago, he's 17 years old. You can go to your 17-year-old and you can say this. Now listen. You can say, listen, son, I have not been a good Christian witness to you. I have failed you in pointing you towards Christ. And I just want you to know that I'm sorry for that. I ask you for your forgiveness regarding that. What I have said and done in this relationship of ours, maybe over the years, was not right. And you guys, maybe tonight you're saying, Pastor Jack, I could never say that to my kid. Why not? Well, I'm afraid that he might abuse that kind of humility that I might show. You know, you don't worry about that. Do the right thing and let God take care of it. There may be a daughter who is so hurt, she doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. Because she equates your relationship with her relationship with God. I'm not going to talk to God because my dad won't talk to me. My dad was mean to me, thus I think God is mean to me. You know how many broken hearts are like that? But do you know how fast, because God is gracious and kind, if you say, you know what, sweetie? I have been wrong. I've been arrogant. I've been proud. I've been too busy to listen. I'm so sorry. I took advantage of you. I listened to everybody else. And then when I got home, I just kicked off my shoes and turned on the TV and I didn't listen. I should have listened to you about your gymnastics or your prom night or your whatever. I'm so sorry. God has made life much more enduring than we think. That will touch her heart. She may break down. She might say, that's right, you hurt me bad. And she might storm off to her room. But guess what? I promise you this. The healing has begun. It's never too late. You will always be that parent. And sometimes the greatest mess ups in life, when repented of and when confessed, God will use that, and there'll be a great move in that family's life. I fear that we might, and I'm not saying you and I personally, I'm just saying we as a culture, maybe we've gotten too proud to humble ourselves and say, you know what? I was wrong. That's a bad place to be if we can't admit that. It's an arrogant place to be. I told you guys before about a recent MTV poll. Worldwide MTV internet poll. And those young people voted overwhelmingly that the most important thing regarding their future was to have a family that stayed together. Wow. Number five, a Christian parent is ordained as the parent. All right, ushers, guard the doors. This won't go over well. Listen carefully. You need to hear this. As parents, we are to be used by God in developing our child to have respect for God. Now listen to this. Mom and dad, when your kids are really super young, until they meet the Lord personally and their own conversion to Christ, listen, mom and dad is like God to that little kid. And that little kid, that's the way God has made it. Did you know that? When that's why, I told you before, that's why kids boast about their parents the way that they do when they're young. Little guys believe that their dad is stronger than Superman. Little girls believe that their mommy is more beautiful than whoever is the most beautiful. God has engineered that. That special influence. And parents, you have been ordained to be a parent. Listen, shocker. You have not been called to be their best friend. Parents somehow think, oh, I'm not much of a parent, not home much, not whatever much, so I'll be their friend. And that's a psychological game. It's not reality. You are their parent, not their best friend. They need a parent. People have to have best friends. I guess, you know. But you're their parent. Doesn't mean you can't have fun with them. Have fun with them. But listen, you are their parent. You are their protector. You are their teacher. You are their guide, according to the Bible. You are their comforter. Did you know that? There are people that think, you know what? My daughter and I, we have just this totally cool relationship, and they dress alike. They talk alike. They're just the best of friends. And listen, that is a mixture for disaster because you're not two girlfriends. You're her parent. And that doesn't mean you can't have fun and do all the stuff you're talking about. But there's times when, mom, you got to put your hand on your hip and you say, sweetie, listen, that guy's not good for you. And I'm telling you now. But if you're more concerned about being her friend, you'll never be able to guide her and protect her and watch over her and parent her. And that's a serious thing. Same thing goes for the guys. Oh, my son and I, we're just the best of friends. That's awesome. But are you his father? Son, now sit down. I got to tell you something. She's not good for you. Or whatever it might be. The Bible says this. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live a long life on the earth. That sounds funny, huh? It's like if you disobey your parents, you're not going to live a long life on the earth. God is saying, the word of God is saying, obey your parents and the Lord will bless your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being a Christian While Being a Parent, Part 1. We're so glad you took the time to join us today. And you know, to raise our children in the way that they should go is one of the highest callings here on earth. Being a Christian While Being a Parent, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, if you're a parent or maybe you're mentoring a child, then you know just how tough it can be, no matter how old they are. We really want what's best for them, and it takes a lot of sacrifice, takes a lot of love, and it takes keeping God first in our lives. But if it's our job to lead them to keep growing in Christ, then we got to do the same thing. So if you need some help in this area, head over to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You'll find literally hundreds of videos to choose from on a wide variety of subjects. These really are great Bible studies, and Pastor Jack even keeps us up to date on how the church should respond to the current issues of our day. You can access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs through YouTube or from our website if you'd like, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.